Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier today, I was at another church celebrating Mass, and somebody came up to me after Mass and said, "Wow, what a boring first reading that was, wasn't it? You know, we got to listen to the arguments between these apostles of something that doesn't even apply to us today anymore." And I was like, "Really?" I was like, "That was really interesting, because it showed the church, what does the church do when there's a struggle or a conflict in what people are believing?" For example, that first reading, you have Jews who believe that a mark of, you know, being in their church, you're circumcised. And the early Christians, as they went out into the Gentile worlds, you had grown men who were not circumcised and wanted to become Christian. And it was kind of disturbing to them when some people claiming to represent the church said, "All right, I have a very sharp knife, and this isn't going to hurt a bit." It was very disturbing to them. And so we heard a letter that was generated over the issue of circumcision of the Gentiles to be considered Christian. And, you know, they didn't leave it for every priest to decide for himself what he was going to do in a situation like that. They actually had an official teaching. And the question went all the way back to Peter. It went all the way back to Jerusalem, and there was the official teaching then. This is what the Christian church from here on out will believe and teach on this issue. And so it shows that from the very inception of the church, there was a hierarchical nature, that there was somebody that we took the big questions to ask, what do we do in the situation? And even today, there arises all the time new situations that the church never had envisioned, didn't even dawn on people, say, 100 years ago, what are we going to do about stem cell research? You know, they didn't even think about that issue. But today, it's become a big issue. And so it goes back to the hierarchy of the church to look at all that we believe, that we've believed over the centuries, and try to find what is the official teaching of the church on this or that issue. And I will guarantee you that in the future, there will be other issues that is not even on our radar. We never even thought that would become an issue, will become issues. And the Catholic Church, of many, many ecclesial communities all throughout the world, the Catholic Church is uniquely equipped with the ability to answer those questions in a way that everyone in the church would know this is the official teaching of the church. And I think it's a great blessing, and I think it's helps to keep unity. I grew up, by and large, on army bases around the world, but most of my time growing up in the United States has been in the South, deep down the South, North Carolina, Georgia. And Catholics down there are very much in the minority. Most of my friends were Baptist or some other some other Protestant church, and they often criticized me that I belong to a hierarchical church, but I often told them I'm very glad that I belong to a hierarchical church because I can ask her questions and find out true answers. I said many of Protestant churches, if you ask them a difficult question on stem cell research, abortion, contraception, it just depends what pastor you talk to, you'll get different answers, all of them saying that they are interpreting the scriptures correctly. And so I think it's a blessing that we have a hierarchical church that can answer those difficult, sometimes debated questions. One of the priests that I stayed with, Father Brockman, he was a pastor in a small little town in North Carolina. Now, most of the towns in North Carolina, you know, they might not even have a Catholic church. You might have to drive 30, 45 minutes to another village or town before you find a Catholic church. Well, he was assigned the new pastor of this little town, and he was in the bank, and this little lady was in front of him in the line, and he was wearing, you know, the Roman collar, and she kept turning around looking at him, and she was a little, you could tell, he said that she was a little uncomfortable. And then finally she turned around, she said, "You one of them Catholics?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I am Roman Catholic. I'm the new pastor of, you know, St. Mary's." And she goes, "Huh." And she turned back around, and she's kind of fidgeting. And she turned around, she says, y'all worship Mary and those statues." And he said, "No, ma'am, we honor the mother of Jesus and the rest of the saints." And she said, "Huh." And then she turned around finally the third time, and she said, "Well, y'all don't read the Bible." And he said, "Ma'am, we wrote it." So oftentimes when my Protestant friends would complain to me about one thing or other of the Catholic Church, I would just remind them that it was the hierarchical authority of the church that had a difficult task of weeding through many, many, many scriptures, some of those scriptures very erroneous, in order to decide what was considered the sacred scriptures and what was to be, in essence, thrown out and not included in the official Bible. And so it was through the hierarchy or the teaching authority of the church that we have, in essence, the Bible that we use today. Many Protestants have began to find this truth and come into the Catholic Church. One of them, maybe if you've watched EWTN, you've seen him on EWTN. His name is Marcus Grody, and he was a pastor of a Protestant church, and he would say of himself, "Every Sunday I would preach a sermon interpreting the scripture for the people, knowing full well that within a 15-mile radius, there were numerous other Christian churches all teaching something different than what I was teaching on that scripture passage." And he began to struggle with the question, who is right? What is the official interpretation of how we should understand that scripture passage? That question bugged him because he said, "As a pastor, I have an obligation to my people, and I will be judged by God if I have led anyone astray." That gnawing question slowly began to bring him into the Catholic Church, and now he brings lots of people into the Catholic Church through his program on EWTN, as well as his many books that he's written. We are all members of that same Christian church, the first church that we heard about in the first reading, where they had to struggle with a difficult question and what was to be the official teaching. Like them, and like every Christian in every age, we all have our disagreements and issues that we have to go through. Until recently, for example, like we said, we didn't even have embryonic stem cell research. Staying faithful to the church is the sure way to experience the inner peace that Christ promised in today's gospel. It will not always be easy, as it was not always easy for the first Christians to be obedient and to submit finally to the official teaching of the church. It's not always easy, but oftentimes it can be much easier than we think. Like a good mother, the church always strives to explain her teachings and decisions. Jesus doesn't want us to obey blindly. Jesus wants us to obey humbly, like children, but also intelligently. This is why the church publishes a universal catechism. This is why our bishop is very prolific in many of his writings. A recent document he wrote for men in particular, Into the Breach. This is why so many theologians have published many books and explain the church's teachings. This is why we have a bookstore laden with books to help you understand your Catholic faith. This is why we have an Institute of Catholic Theology to help deepen your understanding and learning of the faith. This is why we offer things like Bible study, Sunday school, Catholic education. And so we have all the resources there to understand what it is the church teaches and why she teaches it. It is up to each one of us to be mature about our faith, to make the effort to understand what we believe and why we believe it. And that means not being merely satisfied with what the newspapers say we believe. God can't make that effort for each of us. He respects our freedom, but he will help and guide us with the Holy Spirit if we give him the chance. Today, when Christ renews his commitment to us in this Mass, let us renew our commitment to stay faithful to Christ by staying faithful to his church in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Together, let us now profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,